As enrollment in the state's Healthy Michigan program continues, many of the state's community mental health, or CMH, officials have been sounding the alarm that they do not have sufficient funds to treat everyone who comes to them for help. In fact, there have already been scattered reports of people being cut off from state mental health services due to the shift in funding caused by the Medicaid expansion. On Monday, the Mental Health Association in Michigan held a special meeting to address the potential crisis. Here to tell us more is Mark Reinstein, the president and CEO of the Mental Health Association in Michigan. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
You held this meeting on Monday to address funding concerns that apparently many CMHs have. One of the main issues seems to be whether there will be sufficient funding for services for people who do not qualify for Medicaid, even under the Medicaid expansion in Healthy Michigan. Is that correct?
Yes. If you go back, say, 20 years ago, and you looked at an annual legislative appropriation for community mental health care and treatment, it was one line. It was everything. Starting in the late 90s, because Michigan, like all other states, has tried to find more and more ways to get Medicaid to pick up more and more health care costs, starting around 1999, our legislature split that community mental health care and treatment line into a Medicaid line and a non-Medicaid line. And now, with Michigan being a state that's elected to expand Medicaid, which is great, I mean, everyone in the healthcare field is behind that, and we encourage everyone who's eligible to get signed up. The question then became, how many of the non-Medicaid individuals that community mental health was treating would, under the Medicaid expansion, be eligible for it?
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a debate, disagreement between state government on one hand and the state's community mental health programs on the other hand about what would be the right breakdown for reapportioning that money based on expected movement of some people from previous non-Medicaid status to now being enrolled in the new expansion program. So we tried to bring together both parties. Graciously, both parties participated. We brought in a number of people from the human service community so we could all learn more about this, some legislative staff to try to begin a dialogue on where are we, what are the potential problems and issues, and with a new fiscal year starting October 1, what is the right amount of money to have in the FY fiscal year 15 budget for community mental health non-Medicaid services?
You refer to potential problems. From what you're hearing now, have CMHs in the state already had to deny services to people they once served?
It would appear that some of them have. I don't have access to all the information that the Department of Community Health does or that the CMHs do, but I've been able to gather in the last couple of months some different types of materials that clearly indicate that at least six of the state's 46 CMH programs have already reduced or announced reductions in some types of services for people who are not enrolled in any type of Medicaid. Now, if it's only 6 out of 46, then maybe the problem at the moment isn't highly widespread. But the fact that the materials I've gathered only relate to 6 doesn't mean there aren't more. We just don't know at the moment, and that's one of the things we need information on. How widespread is it that people are getting cut off right now under this year's reduced general fund non-Medicaid appropriation. When you look at the numbers for what the CMH has asked for the current fiscal year and what was ultimately appropriated, it shouldn't be widespread yet. But we don't know if it is or isn't. Next year, when the legislature's appropriation, October 1 for non-Medicaid, would kick in, they put it at $97 million. 2 years ago, it was close to $300 million. That is a substantial cut. And what the two sides can't seem to agree on, and we don't know all their methodologies yet that each side used, is how many people will still be left in the non-Medicaid pool.
Mark Reinstein is our guest. He is the president and CEO of the Mental Health Association of Michigan, and we're talking about concerns he and others have with regard to service cutoffs for non-Medicaid recipients of mental health assistance here in Michigan. When we talk about the non-Medicaid population, who are we talking about? Who are typically the people who don't qualify for Medicaid-funded services?
Well, if you look at the fact that we have expansion now, you can be in Medicaid, at least the expansion version of it, if your income is below 138% of the federal poverty level. And the federal poverty level varies by family size. But I did look at it within the last couple of days. And for a family of four to be within 138% of the federal poverty level, you're talking about an annual income of ballpark $33,000. So you can still be pretty low income, and you can still be relatively poor. A lot of people call the CMH non-Medicaid population the working poor. $33,000 for a family of four isn't a lot of money. And yet, if you're above that level, you can't be in Medicaid.
You mentioned in a recent column in Dome Magazine that your colleagues in the CMH community had asked for a requirement in the legislature's 2015 budget bill that would have helped. It ultimately was not included in the bill. What were you requesting?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't Community Mental Health that was requesting it. It was my organization. All we wanted was a commitment in the bill that come this September, when we'd have about 5 months of actual experience under our belt with Medicaid expansion, that the issue would be revisited and reanalyzed. And I'm not saying it won't be or it can't be. There's nothing to prevent that from happening, but we felt it might calm everyone and might dial everything down a little bit if the legislature stated that come September of 2014, there'll be a reanalysis of where things stand.
We shall see.
Yeah, they ultimately elected not to put it in.
It's not known. Who was at this meeting on Monday?
Well, we had the representatives of the Department of Community Health. We had representatives of the Community Mental Health Boards Association, which is the trade organization for the state's 46 CMH programs.
Any Snyder administration people there?
Outside of the fact that the Department of Community Health is part of the executive branch, no. We did invite some other executive branch officials.
Any lawmakers there?
We invited 10 budget-related lawmakers. Given that this is summer break, that a lot of them are out campaigning too. Regrettably, they did not come, but we did have some key legislative policy analysts and some key legislative fiscal analysts who were there. The department and the Community Mental Health Boards Association both made formal presentations. We had a brief reactor panel, and then we had what might have been about an hour and 15 minutes of questions and answers. We had quite a few human service organizations, nonprofit human service organizations represented.
Let's get into the Snyder administration response a little bit more deeply. We've talked with James Haveman, the director of the Michigan Department of Community Health, about this a few times. Back in May, we asked him about the potential cuts to crucial programs for the non-Medicaid population. Here's what he said.
There's some general fund dollars out there yet. You know, they're not all gone, and folks are going to have to learn. We're moving to an arena that is more focused on person care and less on administration. I mean, we have to cut out some administrative costs, and we have to look at programs that are working and what's not working. And there were many things in some of the community mental health boards over the state that I think it's good that they're just stepping back and saying, okay, is this a program that we want to continue, or is this somebody else's responsibility?
Any particular response to what Director Haveman said there?
Well, I agree with some of the things Jim said. We're certainly in a new environment. Yes, there is still and will still be some general fund, non-Medicaid money available. One of the key questions is, will it be enough? On one of the last points about the CMHs have to take a harder look at what programs they could and should offer and for whom, and whether there's other people out there, other providers.
That would seem to be the question. If certain programs or services are not CMH's responsibilities, as he's suggesting, then whose responsibility are they?
That's a critical question here. And Michigan law is very broad on who's eligible for community mental health service consideration and what should be part of the service package for community mental health service recipients. And I don't think it's a question of the CMHs should be taking a look at who they serve, under what circumstances and with what services. That is a question ultimately for Michigan state government. If they want things to be different than they are now. Right now, community mental health is the public safety net for persons with mental illness and developmental disability needs, regardless of reimbursement sources that are available, regardless of ability to pay. And the CMH system was set up to be there, if necessary, for people who have absolutely no way of paying. So if the executive branch and or the legislature wants to change that, they should try, as opposed to saying, well, CMH, you take a hard look at who you're serving, under what circumstances, with what services. The law already establishes that. And part of the problem here is, who else would provide mental health, mental illness, and developmental disability services to vulnerable people in need at no cost?
We have to leave it there. I'm sorry. We'll continue to keep an eye on this situation. Good segment. Mark Reinstein is the president and CEO of the Mental Health Association in Michigan. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.